Morning, everyone. So my talk this morning is basically about focus. Focus. Mike mentioned focus in his prayer, focusing on the Lord's table. What is our focus supposed to be? As Christians, what should we be focusing on? Should I focus on me? How much should I focus on me? Should I focus on other people, other things, events, life things? Should I focus on just me or just others? Personally, I have a hard time staying focused on other things. Squirrel! Oh, I'm sorry. What was I saying? Oh, sorry. I was saying that I have a hard time staying focused on just about anything. When I go jogging in my neighborhood, it's a good time for me to pray. Just have time to myself. It's tough anyway, so I do my praying, but I just can't seem to stay focused on it. I always get sidetracked on something else. I start thinking about, pray for somebody, and I start thinking about them and some of the situations, and my mind just wanders off, or I start obsessing about other things that I need to be doing, or just ranting to myself on things that are bugging me. I always have to keep pulling myself back because I can't stay focused on that prayer. It just never happens. So what is focus? When I say focus, what am I talking about? At my former work, I had a little thing that was bugging me. It was one of my pet peeves. We would have a big meeting with everybody, and the whole company would be there, and the CEO would talk about, this is going to be our focus now. We're going to focus on this thing, so everybody make sure that you're doing this and this, so that we have this as our focus. And, of course, a couple weeks later, a month later, another meeting, okay, this is our focus. We need to focus on this thing. And, of course, me being the troublemaker, I would always say, well, what about the other thing we were supposed to focus on? Well, yeah, you're supposed to focus on that too, but we're going to add this. We've got to focus on both of them. I would just kind of go, okay. And then a little while later, all right, now the other thing we're going to focus on. What about the other two? Yeah, they're still focused, so we're going to focus on all these things. And then later on, we have another thing. All right, we're going to focus on this thing. And so I would just, it would just make my head hurt because I didn't think that we could do that. I always think of the Princess Bride. I know, it sounds weird, right? So in the Princess Bride, there's this character, Bassini, and what's he keep doing? He keeps using this word. What's that word? Princess Bride people? Nobody? Inconceivable. He keeps saying that over and over. There's one. Inconceivable. After everything he was saying. And after a while, one of the good guys, Enigrio Montoyas, finally looked at him and said, you keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. And that's what I would think of. You keep saying focus, but I don't think it means what you think it means because I can't focus on four or five different things at the same time. So what is focus? What does it mean? Well, I looked it up, and it means at which point at which rays of light, heat, or sound converge on or from which they diverge and appear to diverge, specifically the point where the geometric lines of their prolongations. That's not the definition I want. What it means is a point of concentration or directed attention. I like that one, directed attention. If my attention is directed at something, then it can't really be directed at something else at the same time. So that's why you teachers out there, you yell at your students and say, pay attention. It means direct your attention to me. Not looking out the window, which I was fond of doing when I was in school, especially in math class. Anything was more interesting than focusing on math for me. But for you kids out there, I've paid for it ever since. So focus on your math. May not have to find the square root of something, but you will be asked to do some math in the future. So, let's see, I just got off focus there. All right, so back to focus. So what should be my focus? To where should I direct my attention? So if you search the various translations of the scriptures for the word focus, you won't find very much. In the International Standard Version, the New Testament, it's used once or twice, but none of the other mainstream translations use the word focus. Some of the very new ones do, but they're not really translations. They're really paraphrases, like God's Word or New Living Translation, The Message. You'll find it there, but again, those are paraphrases. They're not really translations. So You won't find that word in most of the mainstream translations, but the concept is there. It's just they use different words. The one that I like the most is if we look at Hebrews 3:1 in the International Standard Version, I'm going to use that one, we find a really good answer to where we should focus. But I'm going to expound upon that a little bit later. Hebrews 3:1, this is the International Standard Version. Therefore, holy brothers, partners in a heavenly calling, keep your focus on Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. The New International Version says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. And the New King James Version says, to consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Different words, but all meaning the same thing. To focus on Jesus. And that's a really good answer to the question, where should my focus be? Jesus is the place to focus. He is the living word, the living will of God. But I want to kind of take it back a little bit. My focus should always be on doing the will of God. That's why focusing on Jesus is right, because he is the will of God. And I was like, duh, of course you're supposed to focus on doing God's will. From the very beginning, we see consequences of following and not following God's will. Adam and Eve disobeyed, did not follow God's will, and they doomed mankind to a life of trouble and turmoil and sin ever since. And in the end, death. Noah's righteousness and obedience, following God's will to the letter, saved mankind from being totally destroyed. Keeping Jesus as our focus keeps us in tune to God's will. Jesus came not only to teach us, but to demonstrate what that will looks like in action. Not just to tell us, but to show us. So I have this visual in my mind. So for those of you of my generation and musical inclinations, think of Pink Floyd. Think of Dark Side of the Moon album. What's it look like? What's the cover look like? It's all black, and on the front of it is a prism. And you've got a ray light coming into the prism, and it's refracted off to all its various components, all the various colors of the spectrum. So God's will is like a ray of light piercing the darkness of sin. And Jesus is that prism that takes that ray of light and it breaks it down into all of its component parts. Jesus breaks down God's will into the component parts that we are supposed to focus on. So we can't focus on all those components at the same time, like I said, like at work, but we can spend a little time focusing on each one of them individually, evaluating how well we are obeying our God. I can't talk this morning. Excuse me. So what are some of those components, those rays of light that come through Jesus? I've listed a few here. You probably have some of your own you can put down on here. But these are the ones that we're to focus on doing God's will, yes, not our own will. That's the main thing. Matthew 26:39 says, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Even Jesus put God's will above his own. He didn't want to go through that, but it was the only way that man could be saved. There are so many things we want to do in and with our lives, and most of them are just fine. But there are some to which God says, no, you can't. No matter how much we want those things, we must put God before ourselves. Even when those things don't seem like terrible, sinful things. Back when I was working, I would like to go fishing on the weekends. I only had a couple of days to do it. Sunday morning, beautiful Sunday mornings in the summertime, I would want to go fishing, but I needed to be here. So I obeyed God's will, not my own will, and I came here. Fishing isn't a bad thing, unless you're the fish getting caught, I guess, then it's a bad thing. I used to have limited time to do that, but God wants me here, so that's what I needed to do. Also, I need to mature my faith so that I want to be here instead of going fishing. And I think I've done that for the most part. Still, I long to go fishing, but I need to be here, and I want to be here to worship with the body. Jesus just didn't want to be tortured and executed, but he put God's will above his own, and we need to focus on doing the same. So we need to focus on spiritual things over worldly things. As I said, there are lots of things we want to do with and in our lives. We need to make sure that following Jesus is one of them so we can gain the reward of eternal life. 1 Timothy 4:8, this is what I always think of when I think of focus, really. This verse is the one that comes to my mind. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. We know that exercise is good for you in so many ways. Good for your body, good for your mental state, good for your emotional state. However, we have to give precedence to spiritual matters. Exercising our spiritual life is so much more. That will benefit us here and now, but also in the life to come. That's our focus, spiritual, over worldly things. Colossians 3, 2 and 3 says, I don't know, every time I see the verse, I think of Kelly, uses it a lot. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on spiritual things. That's where we should focus. But you can't completely ignore the world. I mean, we're in the world, we have to earn a living, pay bills, fall in love, build a family, get laid off your job. We're in the world, so we must interact with the world. But we're not to adopt the value system and the social morals of this world. God provides those to us through the scriptures, not man. And Romans 8, 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. The more we focus on spiritual things, the less influence and power worldly things will have over us. The less we desire them, the more we will desire to be in the presence of God. Spiritual things over worldly things. And of course, I have this third, I don't know why, it's focus on Jesus, which is the main topic. Focus on Jesus. It sounds redundant, but listen to his words. They give us clues to some of what the other components are to follow. Luke 9, 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So let's look at those components now. Focus on others rather than ourselves. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. It's not about me. I mean, it is about me. Always about me. It's not supposed to be about me. It's not supposed to be about ourselves. It's about helping others. Focus on helping others. I focus on helping them. They focus on helping me. Everybody wins. Philippians 2, 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Putting others first does help us, but that should not be our motivation. Not accolades or praise or glory. I'm so wonderful because I help you all the time, and I'm putting myself out so that you can gain something. It's a real sense of caring for others. It's our motivation. That's what we should train ourselves to do. However, there are times when it is okay to focus on ourselves rather than others. I thought of a couple. Maybe you have others. When it comes to our own salvation, we must make our own calling and election sure first before we can guide others to do the same, before we can guide others to Jesus. We're not asked to sacrifice our own salvation for the purpose of helping others. So we are saved, then we can help others to be saved as well. 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Our own salvation needs to remain a priority. Then we can focus on helping others. Another area where we should focus on ourselves is when we're tempted to criticize others for their behavior, their lack of good Christian conduct, or whatever. Matthew 7, 3 through 5. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Focus on yourself. Look in the mirror before you go and attack or criticize or judge somebody else for something. Because you're probably guilty at least a little bit of the same thing. So there you can focus on yourself first. Then you can focus on helping others. The next one is focus on contentment and hope rather than affliction. Luke 9:23 back there. Take up his cross daily. Take up his cross daily. All people are afflicted with bad things. The apostles promised us we would be afflicted. We would follow Jesus. 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 12. You have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endure. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So we're going to be persecuted. Bad things are going to happen to us because we choose to follow Jesus. Bad things can happen to anyone because of sin in people's lives, and bad things can happen because of sin in the world. Whether people are good or bad, whether people deserve it or not, bad things will happen. We can't be consumed by it or focused on all the troubles in our lives or in what's going on out there in the world, because there's a ton of it. So again, the words of the apostles, Philippians 4:11, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Hebrews 13:5, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Discontent with your life, focusing on bad things, will drive you crazy and make your life miserable. I mean, I would love to win $500 million in the lottery. It's things I could do with that money, the people I could help, things I could contribute to, all of what's going on with this coronavirus stuff. You could relieve so much misery, but it probably would cost me my salvation, because then I would have all this money and this worldly power, and I wouldn't be able to control it. So, be content. One of the things that I pray for every day when I pray is to be content with the innumerable blessings that I have. All of us have such blessings to live here in this time and this place. Even though we're afflicted, we have trouble, there's financial troubles, other kind of troubles, we are richly blessed. We need to be content. Doesn't mean you don't need to try and better yourself or to make progress. It just means you can't be disconnected. I hope, I want this, I want that, I want all these things. Be content rather than discontent. Focus on forgiveness rather than revenge or resentment. And Luke 9:23 at the end says, and follow me. You're very familiar with the following verses, Mark 11:25 and 26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you and your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Romans 12:19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Like discontentment, resentment will eat you alive and consume your life. You have to let it go. You have to forgive. You have to. It's more than just saying the words, I forgive. You have to actually do it, and you mean it, and feel it. You have to let that go. You may not know how to do that, because it's hard. It's really, really hard to forgive, especially if you feel like you've been wronged. No, Jesus says, if you suffer for being wrong, then it's better, or it's better than, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, Jesus said something that was good about this. You may not know how to do it, to forgive, to let go, to move on. You've got to keep trying to work it out. Eventually, you shall be able to work it out. Look for the peace that Jesus will give us. And finally, my last one I have here is, focus on love rather than hate. It's hard to pick just a few verses about love, since the New Testament is a book about the love of God for his children. I picked 1 John 2:10 and 11. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. We can't be blind and stumble around the darkness because of something someone has done to us that we can't get by, no matter how terrible it may be. Because terrible things are done to people by other people. We can't let that consume us, resentment, discontent. We can't let hate consume us. We have to let it go. It's not worth losing your salvation over. It may take time. It may take your whole life. It may take all the effort we can muster, but we have to let it go. Focus on love. If we focus on and follow Jesus. My talk this morning, I want to say it doesn't really have an end, because focusing on Jesus, focusing on doing the will of God, doesn't have an end. It's ongoing, it's lifelong, and if we do it, we'll get to heaven, and we can focus on love and contentment in heaven with Jesus and with our God. We're going to close the service this morning. The gospel invitation, if you feel the call of Christ, come forward as we stand and sing.